Big Red Revival.
Well, another embarrassing effort out of the Cornhuskers as they fall 45-7 to the Michigan Wolverines, the number two team in the country. Came to town on Saturday and put a whipping on you boys from start to finish. Nebraska was able to tack on a late garbage time touchdown to preserve the non-getting shutout streak, I guess. But all around embarrassing effort out of the Cornhuskers, whole team wise, I guess. I think I saw more guys putting up fight at the Ryder Cup than I did on the field Saturday from the Huskers. So, one of those games that you want to just sweep away and and move on to the next one. But Zach, how you doing? What's going on? What'd you see from the game Saturday?
Doing fine. Doing a lot better than everyone at One Memorial Drive right now. But
a lot of pissed off
doing all right
on there.
Can't say that this wasn't expected. You would hope it would have looked a little bit better than that. But I will say, Michigan right now and what they have as a product of a team is exactly what we strive to be and what we want to be, as a program. Because, they were just bigger, stronger, faster, more physical, meaner, more football savvy overall than anything that we had to put out on the field. So it's not like we had a fighter's chance there. I would have liked to see us, come out a little bit more, aggressive, I guess, and more with a 1-2. But it just felt like, us taking that field, we knew from the get-go that we just didn't belong on the same field with them.
I know you weren't able to attend the game, but, the game got started off on the wrong foot. The tunnel walk broke. So went to the game Saturday. And, tunnel walks going on, and you're like, I'm standing there. I'm like, man, this is kind of taken for, I feel like they, by the time they get to this part of the song, they've already came out. And come to find out the goddamn gate or garage door to let them out was fucking stuck. So you start seeing guys trickle out through like a side door. And so by the time they get the garage door to open up to let the team out, Michigan's running out on the field at the same time. So it's just like, that was just a sign of things to come, not in sync. So, they finally run out. Michigan's running out the same time. So it's like
the stadium didn't even want us to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. So just, got started off on the wrong foot. I guess, as I said, I think Michigan's the best team in the country. They've been kind of playing with their food the first couple games, and, there's old boxing, adage that people talk about, don't play with your food. When you're in there with a lesser opponent, don't let them hang around because, in boxing, it only takes one punch. But so you want to get them out of there early. And that's what Michigan did. Michigan came in, put their foot right on our throat fucking from the word go. And, it was 28-0 before I even got the chance to blink.
And Roman Wilson's the one that threw
but
that.
But I guess before punt. Yeah, before you even get, before, I guess we did blink. It was 14-0. And then Nebraska, which – this is basically when the game ended, is when the 4th-and-1, down on about the 20, 25-yard line, I think. And, 4th-and-inches. And, it was already a bad sign. I see us lining up in the shotgun, which when we have an offensive line that is, an absolute joke, and then a great defense from Michigan, you're already like, oh, Jesus, just line up, get up under center, and, quarterback sneak it. Or actually, at the time, I was saying, take your points. These guys are clearly rolling. They scored 2 touchdowns on their first 2 possessions. Getting 3 points on the board would, go a long way for psyche. I guess little did I know that our kicker, who I've been hyping up, Tristan, apparently he sucks. So it's I me and my wife root for this kid, and I've been on him all season. This guy, we got a good kicker here. Well, he's missed his last 4. So I guess maybe that went into rules thinking of going for it down there, 4th-and-inches, but really not a great excuse to get the shotgun and go for it. And then, they talk about how athletic Harburg is, and, he's 360 dunking and all this. Well, What I saw Saturday on that attempt was a what they call a credit card vert, because he didn't get more than 1 inch off the ground. It was probably the most unathletic thing I've seen done on a Division I football field in some time. And he got the snap and shotgun and basically ran, long jumped into the back of his offensive lineman, didn't come close, and ball game was basically over. The extra 40 points Michigan scored was just kind of, you know, icing on the cake. And, you know, to kind of really tell you what Michigan thought about what was going to happen this game, you know, Nebraska came into this game number one in the conference in rush defense and rush offense. And I think Michigan came in wanting to prove a point that, you know, those stats were a little padded. So they came out to prove a point and, you know, they kind of knew they were going to beat up on us because they brought four quarterbacks. You know, teams don't bring four quarterbacks on the travel roster, and they played all four of them. So they kind of knew that, you know, they're going to beat up on us. You know, it's kind of like those first four games where they were switching coaches at halftime. You know, Harbaugh was suspended, you know, for the first three games. And so it was like, oh, the defense coordinator is coaching the first half, and then this guy's coaching the third quarter, and then this guy's coaching the second quarter of the third game. And basically just they could have picked their score. They were that much better than us. But I guess, Zach, what you saw out there Saturday, was the biggest difference a talent gap, or was it a effort thing that you saw out there Saturday the biggest difference?
I mean, I think it was both. I mean, the talent
which
gap.
Which one more was it? Which, I mean, obviously I think Michigan's more talented, but
the talent led to effort, the lack of effort, I think. And it was just, you know, from the get-go, you know, with coming out and, you know, you said that the tunnel walk was the first, like, sign of where this was going to go. But I think actually it was Singleton getting hurt right out of the get-go. I mean, within the first minute of the game. And then, you know, that Roman Wilson, I mean, he's going to be on You Got Mossed over Gifford on Monday, which
over
is
over Southeast tough. Boy. Yep.
And what's really frustrating about, you know, the whole QB sneak part of it is, you know, we drove down the field and Harburg had some very, very good poised throws, specifically the one to Kemp over the middle, Fedoni on the sideline, and then Burkhardt on an out down to get us in the red zone. And then once we finally get into the red zone, we immediately get penalized. And it's just the tale as old as time, and it's frustrating. And then we had the fourth and one. We lined up, clearly didn't have a plan on what we were going to do. We call a timeout only to come out and go to shotgun. And then, yeah, you're right. You know, he does a QB sneak out of the shotgun, but then he leaves his feet. All you got to do is plow right into the back of your best offensive lineman and Ben Scott. Put your helmet in the back of his shoulder pads and push forward. And that's what you're supposed to do on a QB sneak no matter what. But you're never supposed to run a QB sneak out of a shotgun in the first place. So,
right. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You got to just understand, like, you know, the momentum is your friend in that situation, not getting vertical, which he didn't either. But, you know, I think that's just really, really, you know, frustrating and demoralizing, especially when you finally, you know, found a little rhythm to move the ball down the field. But, you know, just the way they came out and just went right down the field on us. And our first drive, you know, Harburg comes out and, you know, I don't think Harburg played all that bad, you know, all things said and done. But the first sign of struggle on offense was the tipped pass, which was an interception. Right. And we had a similar situation later in the game where there was a tipped pass. We don't make the play, they do. And that's been the biggest differentiator for us as a program, as a defense, for years and years. We're not ever there to make that big play. And, you know, that sets the tone. And also, it just really still bothers me that Harburg is back there at 6'5". I don't know how many times he said he has 17 size shoe. And he's back there taller than most of, you know, the linemen. He's throwing sidearm. And that's what caused the first pass to get tipped. Was he's delivering it three quarters as opposed to over the top, and I know that's mostly his throwing motion, but it's really frustrating because I think he had like four or five tip passes in the game.
Yeah, that's been one of the big, you know, things, talking points is his arm location, you know, throwing side arm, and
his mechanics.
I know he's got a three quarter release, but I feel like sometimes he even dips down farther than that, like he's like a shortstop trying to turn two, you know, like
yep.
it's I guess, you know, people are like, well, you need to get him to start throwing over the top. And it's like, listen, I don't know much about playing quarterback, but I know that, you know, you're not able to just switch your throwing motion fucking on a drop of a hat. It's, you know, it is what it is. That's a throwing motion. And Zach, do you want to speak to it? I mean, we change your throwing motion, right?
No, we tried it with Taylor Martinez. Remember, we sent him to all these camps because he was thrown as a fadeaway, like sidearm. And so that obviously is not what they teach you, but right. you can't just change your throwing motion overnight. And it's something that should have been obviously, you know, addressed when he got here as a freshman on campus, as opposed to now where he's starting against the number two team in the country and Michigan. So it's something that he's just going to have to play with and play through. And outside of that, you know, I think he did make some very good throws and hit his total in passing yards or highest total in passing yards for the year. But there's a lot of tweaks to be done, I feel like.
Yeah. And, you know, just having that throwing motion doesn't mean you can't be a good quarterback. I mean, you could look at a guy like Philip Rivers, who has probably the ugliest throwing motion in the history of mankind, but is going to go, you know, as Deion say, he's going to have a gold jacket that he didn't pay for, you know. I guess Harburg's throwing motion kind of reminds me of like a Vince Young. Vince Young was a three-quarter, throwing motion. So it's not that guys that throw like that can't have success. It's just, I think the thing that people are forgetting, and I was just kind of, you know, listening to a couple podcasts and taking in content today, and, you know, somebody had mentioned, you know, Logan Smothers plays tonight. It's Wednesday night, so Jacksonville State plays tonight. Logan Smothers was just conference player of the week. And I was just like, it just kind of made me think that, you know, 6 months ago, Harburg was the fifth or sixth string quarterback on this team. Because Sims transfers in, Thompson's still on the team, Logan Smothers is on the team, and then him and Purdy are battling it out for fifth and sixth string quarterback. And if you listen to the coaches at the beginning of the season, you know, they were talking about how he wasn't even in the quarterback room when they got here. And then if you go back even to last year and you listen to the comments by like Mickey Joseph about, hey, if you're ever thinking about making a quarterback change, do you remember what Mickey and them did when they were asked that question? They literally chuckled. They literally go to Harburg? No, like it wasn't even a freaking option. So you just take it into consideration that Harburg was a fifth string quarterback 6 months ago on the same roster. And now he's starting for us. And some people, for some reason, think that he is a quarterback going forward here. He's not. He's not a quarterback going forward here. He is a strictly stopgap fill-in guy, and we need to get a quarterback in there as soon as possible. There's some murmurs that, you know, this may be the week Jeff Sims comes back, and people can say what they want about Jeff Sims. Jeff Sims has played big-time Power 5 football at quarterback and won football games at quarterback. I know what we saw in the first two games was pretty disgusting. But, you know, we've seen some of those same, turnovers, dropping snaps, some of those same things happen to Harburg. So it's not just exclusive to him. And, you know, maybe that's his floor. And, you know, I'm a guy that's, you know, I'm ready to get back to Sims, but I could also see, you know, kind of trying to wait. We know, obviously, after this week is a bye week. And so that would be an ample time to, you know, give him an extra 2 weeks to get back before a Northwestern game. But I really, 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 really think that this season hinges on this game Friday night in Champaign. And, you know, if the smoke and fire clears out of there by by Friday. Yep. But I guess, Zach, I mean, where's your head at on Harburg and, you know, his place or position on this team and going forward?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the eye test is going to Harburg so far. Just one, because he's got two wins, but two, just seems like there's a lot more want to and desire with how he plays out there. Yep. There was a good time where it was like 3rd and 19 or 3rd and 17 in the first half, and Harburg didn't throw a YOLO bomb. He saw a clear crease. He didn't get the first down, but he made the smart move and still didn't slide. He still lowered his shoulder, even though it was like a tough defense in Michigan, and got a couple extra yards. Again, didn't get the first down, but I think, you know, Harburg is playing to the best of his ability. I don't think Sims did in the first two games.
Yeah.
I think you made a good point about, you know, just kind of like going back to the drawing board after this next game. Illinois is kind of there's a little bit of blood in the water or fire on the stadium with them. I think, you know, but the one thing that kind of, as I rewatched this game, it was in the third quarter. It was after a really tough couple series for us. Harbor came off the field and Satterfield and Rule were there waiting for him, talking to him, not chewing his ass or anything, just kind of going through what he just saw. And if you're Jeff Sims, you need to be there. You need to be right there with those three. You need to be listening to the feedback that he's getting, the coaching that he's getting, and still continuing to learn. I know that you said he's played some Power 5 football, but he's by no means an expert on the sport or you know, his own QB craft. So right. you would like to see him in those huddles, you know, taking it in, being supportive of Harburg, and also just continuing to grow as a player. And that kind of that kind of upset me a little bit, but I agree with you.
Back on the previous games. You have seen him there, especially I've seen him a lot there, being that first guy coming off the sidelines. And the Harburg thing isn't a lack of effort. He is definitely he is definitely out there giving it all he can. Like, there's no doubt about it. Trust me. I like, obviously he's a guy from Nebraska, so I like that. I like that, you know, he's finishing off these runs, trying to run over people. But, you know, I don't think that he's a winning quarterback talent-wise in the Big Ten. Yeah, he can beat up some bums, some lesser opponents, some non-Power 5 teams, but, you know, that's what you're supposed to do when you're at the University of Nebraska. We need Power 5 wins. Like, these wins over non-Power 5 teams are now, they're just irrelevant. You know, until we beat a team that, you know, is on the same playing field as us, you know, it really doesn't matter. So, you know, as you said, there's some blood in the water in Illinois. Mm-hmm. You know, they're, you know, our next four opponents, you know, they're all 2-3. So, you know, we're going to be playing right at our competition level. Michigan, like I said, is the best team in the country, in my opinion. They're going to be in the college football playoffs. So you kind of saw how far you have to go. And like I said, I think it's more, obviously there's big talent gap between Michigan and Nebraska, but for what I saw out there Saturday was more of an effort thing. I think our guys kind of turtled up pretty quickly, and you know, I think they were beat when they saw, you know, the helmets on the other sidelines, you know, saw Michigan and the number two ranking come in, you know, which sucks because the environment down there was electric. You know, Barstool had their pregame show going on down there, so the crowd was rampant, and they were fired up, you know, coming into the, you know, did a little tailgating before the game. And as I came off, I got to, you know, I came coming over the bridge right there by PBA, right as Bussin' with the Boys were coming off, so Will and Taylor, so they're literally walking right there, so I got a chance to stop and talk to those guys. I mean, the crowd was fired up. I mean, Barstool guys, you know, they're going to get the kids the kids all nice and rowdy. So did you get to see any of the Barstool content? You know, we kind of talked about, you know, I think maybe when they were in Iowa, they went to Casey's, and now they went Valentino's, and, you know, he kind of rated it how people, you know, rated. I don't know. My wife hates it. She thinks only people from Lincoln like Valentino's. She's like, every family event, oh, you guys getting Valentino's, you know?
That's how my wife is, too.
It's like, I don't know. I thought everybody fucked with it. But, you know, I think he reviewed the runs are pretty good, which, you know, the damn runs are, you know, pretty elite when they, you know, when they actually do them right. So I think he was comparing it to a cheesesteak, though. But it's like,
I did get to see it. Yeah, it was well done. I mean, as always, they do a good job. I appreciated, you know, they said things that were, you know, kind of little subtle jabs at Nebraska and the program itself. But I mean, Will Compton was just completely in his element, which was hilarious. You know, every time he got to do the Go Big Red chant. And I liked when Big Cat just came on and he said, "You guys got screwed against Texas. That'll get the people going." And then, you know, the rest of the cast. It was well done. It's shorter, obviously, than game day, which game day could be shorter anyway. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess the one thing that I kind of took away from the whole thing Saturday is that, you know, a lot of people are pulling for Nebraska. You know, there was the whole, you know, make Nebraska mediocre again. And then just kind of talking with Michigan, you know, just your common folk Michigan fans in the stadium. And it's – you know, everybody's wanting Nebraska to get back to, obviously we're not going to be what we were in the 90s, but just get back to being relevant again. And, you know, it makes you feel, it's like, listen, all right. Yep. You guys know you're going to beat up on us. We're well aware of it.
We want to be better too.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, I don't know. And then, you know, the sad part is the defense is, you know, first three games, we thought we had a nice elite top 10 defense. And I'm not sure if, you know, the wheels kind of just fell off or, you know, I'm thinking the injuries that are stacking up? You know, you lose your quarterback of your defense, Reimer. You lose your freshman All-American, Cam Linhart, that has came in and provided, you know, some rushing off the edge. Obviously, Singleton goes down first play of the game Saturday. Blaze Gunnarsson missed a game and a half. You know, do you think that what we saw those first couple games on the defense was, you know, the exception? Or is it that these injuries are starting to stack up on us and that's what's happening for the defense, Ben?
I'm not ready to say it's because of the injuries, because I think actually the coaching staff did a really good job of playing a lot of guys early to get them ready. A lot of changing in and out. And have you ever seen the movie Miracle, the hockey movie?
Yes.
You know that one of the last speeches where Herb Brooks comes into the locker room and says, "What the hell's wrong with you? And get your gear on." And then he starts yelling at one of the captains and best players on their team saying, "Oh, you have a bruise on your leg. It's a hell of a lot farther a long ways from your heart."
Right.
Where's Reimer at?
Yep.
I don't like
that. Apparently he's in the fucking hospital.
Well, if he's in the hospital, I'll give him a pass. I think he was in the hospital last week, but it's like,
yeah.
How does this happen? Like, how are you in the hospital? Are you not taking care of yourself? Are we not getting the right, like, treatment in there? It just seems like it's just another piece of this puzzle that just doesn't make sense with players just not being around. Right. And it's frustrating to me because, you know, I played a lot of football and, you know, there was not very many injuries that were going to keep me off that field. And it's because I love the game and I want to be there with my brothers. And it just pisses me off when I see these guys that we talk about all offseason and they're just such important parts of the game and part of the team, and they're just not there when we need them the most. Reimer's a guy that wouldn't stand down from Michigan. We know it. We've seen him play. He'll come firing through there, whether he gets depleted or not. He'll come back and play the next play. And it hurts the whole unit when we don't have that guy here. Like you said, he's the quarterback of this defense. So I don't know that I'm ready to blame it on injuries because, you know, even towards the end of the game, we had Nash Hutmacher go out. We had a couple other guys go out. And we had that Van Poppel ready to pop right into the game. And we have guys that want to get in there. But, you know, it's just it comes back to the talent gap. And we started the podcast off. It's like the effort immediately was eliminated once we started getting punched in the chin a little bit.
Yeah.
Once absolutely. the first sign of adversity. And it was just like, OK, we knew, but we weren't going to say it out loud. Now we know we're not with this team and we're not going to be able to be competitive here.
Yeah. And, you know, the fans knew it too. So I think the fans knew it when we missed on 4th and 1 that this game was over. You know, I took a fucking 1-year-old and a 4-year-old to the game. So I was, you know, and it was a blistering 90 plus degrees. So, you know, I was ready to get back to the tailgate as soon as possible. So, we got out of there about 4 minutes left in the second quarter. And, you know, when a game's going like that, you know, fans will kind of clear out the stadium and go and continue the party. This is the first time I've ever seen this, though. As I'm walking back to the tailgate, motherfuckers are packing up their tailgates fucking at halftime. You tailgating is an all-day party. You know, motherfuckers were packing up the tailgates at halftime. Like, I have never seen that before. And, you know, apathy is really starting to set in from the fans, which is a scary, scary thing. You know, which I guess, you know, just talking to people at work, talking through shit, and I'm, you know, and I'm like, you know, is what we need is a fucking full Dion flip and just get everybody the fuck up out of here? Is losing just ingrained in everybody here and we need to flip this roster 61? Yes, we need to flip the roster, but to what extent do we need to, you know, I think Deion kept, what, 12 players or so? Like, we've got a bunch of losing mentality players on our team that, and, you know, maybe didn't come in that way, but it's just after these couple years or however long they've been here, it just, you know, what could go wrong will go wrong type things. And it's just like, because, I mean, look at the offensive side. Do you have it? Is there any dudes beside Fedoni on the offensive side of the ball? There's not one
dude. I wouldn't even put Fedoni in there right at this point.
I think Fedoni, if he played at a fucking school like LSU or something, like, oh, shit. You know, next year, like, this guy's going to be a second round pick or something. And now he's going to be wasted away here.
But he doesn't play somewhere else. But there's other players that go places and they shine. And they, you know, the beauty of a great player.
That's what I'm saying.
He goes out and plays great, but he makes other people around him better. And it's hard to do, I guess, as a tight end. But it's just like, yes, I agree with you. We do not have that dude. No, we don't have one. We don't have a dude on the whole team. What are we talking about?
Yeah. No alpha, no nothing, you know. He ain't got no dogs on the team that are ready to, you know. Give me an old Eric Martin, you know. Remember Eric Martin? A guy that's ready to go.
He'd go right down the sideline and chew anybody's ass that wasn't have their helmet on or wasn't, like, paid attention to the game.
Underrated guys like Nick Gates. Remember Nick Gates?
You know who would have been great for this team? You know who would have been great? Think about who we lost last year that we shouldn't have. Garrett Nelson.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's like, have you seen anybody on the sidelines fucking rah-rah, chewing ass, fucking getting not even fired up, man? It's I think Rule's at that tipping point. I think the whole coaching staff, listening to these guys on the press conference, I think some ass chewing got handled this week. And, you know, it looked like Rule wanted to say some things to the press, you know, but you know how the Nebraska press is, dude. They just fucking, they're hanging on every word. You say one thing and then it's just stuck ingrained for the rest of your life that, oh, you remember that time you said this? And it's like, I think he honestly wants to tell us, just like,
these guys suck, man.
Fucking like, dude, these guys fucking suck. Like, I came in here, you know, and now I've got this guy that's not a quarterback playing quarterback. The quarterback I brought in got hurt. You know, my favorite two players on the team, Gabe Irvin and fucking Ramir Johnson, got hurt immediately. My quarterback of the Tommy defense Hill. Is hurt. Oh, wait, that's his son. That's not his favorite. Tommy Hill is his son.
That's blood.
Yeah, exactly. That's his son. So, you know, anybody can see it. He can see it. There's nobody on this fucking team, honestly. Like, you know, there's nobody worth a shit on offense. Defense, there's some young guys that you see that could be some potential. And that, I think that's more the upsetting thing also, is that you're not seeing younger guys get in on offense. Like, you know, Turner Cochran, I mean, you know, I said Ethan Piper was the worst player in the country. He's not. The guy's playing Cochran right next to him. Apparently he's fine. The guy playing right next to him is the worst. So we have literally the fucking, whatever the amount of players are in the country, we have the last one and two on our team playing right next to each other starting. Ethan Piper and Turner Cochran are the worst players I've seen play football. And the sad part is, Turner Cochran was basically damn near a five-star player. How come every time Nebraska gets, I think he was 39th in the country coming out of Kansas. And he isn't, you know, they say, oh, he should be playing guard. Then fucking put him at guard because he's not doing anything. He's not doing anything at tackle.
Put him next to Proska. A goddamn thing. But Teddy Proska did not look good coming into the game either.
On Saturday. And, you know, and like I said, we've all kind of were like, oh, where's Teddy at? We've seen him getting in those heavy packages.
He gave up a sack to the second.
Yeah, and Rule is kind of always like, you know, why the fuck do these guys keep asking me about Teddy? Like, this guy ain't fucking, like, even when he comes back, he ain't starting, you know. It's like the vibe he's giving. He's like, why do these guys keep asking me about Teddy? Like, this guy asked me about a backup tackle. I think a roster flipping is coming, and it needs to come, obviously. We need to get some, you know, invite some guys to leave, you know, go ahead and get them up out of here. And we need to go get us a quarterback. We need to go get some offensive linemen, man. I mean, how long has it been since our offensive line's been bad, man? It's been years. And it's just, so I guess, which leads me to my next thing, like, oh, the transfer portal and NIL, you know, which is supposed to be – NIL is supposed to be Nebraska's, like, saving grace is what we're – you know, supposed to be our thing. From everything I hear, 1890 is not being ran very well.
Shocker.
And you know, we talked about this when it came, and I Matt Davidson is running it. He's got some donors, big pockets backing him to run it. And I was like, okay, perfect. You got a guy like Matt Davidson, kind of operates, on the edge. I don't want to say anything. Matt Davidson seems like the type of guy to sue a motherfucker, but everybody knows Matt Davidson's reputation. And so you thought that it would be a perfect opportunity for him to get over there. Apparently it's not working. And then you see the numbers that come out, and they ESPN publishes numbers about, the NIL collectives, and Nebraska's fucking barely in the top 50. It's like, so I thought we were going to be a top 10 NIL school, and apparently that's not working very well either.
The only reason we all thought that is because the company Open Doors was founded in Lincoln and founded by two former Nebraska players, Blake Lawrence and Audie, former kickoff specialist. And they were that company was just so far ahead of the game with all of this NIL. They've been in this industry for like 6-7 years now.
Yep.
I mean, they just saw what was going to happen and got on it. And so that's why we felt like we had this big advantage. But turns out if that company wants to stay a company and stay profitable and stay in business, they're not going to just settle with Nebraska, because that's not going to keep them afloat.
Yeah,
they're not going to be biased by any means, and they're gonna go out and they're gonna do what they need to do and get the big names or just promote with, and it's not even getting anybody, but it's just I feel like we just have this false sense of like false sense of like spot in this whole NIL like movement that we're we feel like everything's supposed to fall into our lap, but you know what?
It's not changed anything.
Yeah,
you see the $450 million.
We have to have success in order to get these players, and the money will help. Obviously, the money will be ultimately the final straw for them to make the decision. But the success is where we get these big time players. And so it's just frustrating because
you heard Royola mention that NIL was definitely a factor in his not coming to Nebraska. And it's like, I kind of took that at, with a grain of salt, because I never thought he was coming into Nebraska, at least off of, the first time. I always said he's going to transfer here because that's what he does. He transfers. He's on four high schools. So in 2 years, when Royola transfers in, it'll be different. But he said that, one of the factors come in with Nebraska basically wasn't able to get in the money. And it's like, damn, guys, the number one recruit in the nation, a legacy. We can't find some dollars to get this guy. I mean,
Amigos didn't get the job done or what?
Right. Fucking, I mean,
got a job done for Sims.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. So, a little disappointing to hear that the NIL in the 1890 isn't as going as smooth as, we thought it would be or would like it to be. So we're obviously going to need to get that right if we're going to get this roster going. But, I guess, I keep wanting to buy some of that, that pipeline jerky. But, I'm trying to find out if they could earmark it for, only new players. Like, fucking, as long as not one person currently on the offensive line gets a dime of this, fucking, I will buy some of it. It needs to be earmarked for entire new players to replace these guys. Yeah. And
Swiss cheese with all those holes in it.
Oh God. If I was one of these 1990 guys, the Zach Weirds and all these, the guys that invented the pipeline, and these motherfuckers are profiting off, and you're the fucking worst goddamn position group on the team. Oh my, I can't believe these guys still, have the guts to even, promote
the themselves that.
Yeah, or the Husk guys, he fucking, big time, Nebraska Twitter account. He's always promoting. It's like, dude, for what, man? For what? They're terrible. They don't deserve a dollar, man. They don't deserve a goddamn dollar.
I know Jesus it don't taste Christ. Better than Jack Links either.
Exactly. It ain't no Jack Links shit. So, they've got this new beer, the Cornhead Lager, which obviously a terrible name. Yeah. it's fucking just, we can't do anything right, can we? Just, I mean, Whatever.
They need to come out with a winless whiskey.
Oh,
that's what we.
Yes. Right. That's now you're talking. See,
now we're
exactly. So, I don't know, man. It's not good. And as I've continually said through this whole podcast, is the only saving grace is there's a bunch of other bums on our schedule, and we have now played the two best teams on our schedule, the two best quarterbacks on our schedule are now behind us. We're not going to play a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy or Shador Sanders. So, and those are probably the two best teams we're going to play. Maybe Wisconsin could be up there. Well, excuse me, maybe Maryland. Tua's little brother balling. Yeah, Tua's little brother's balling. So we're going to see what they're about this week, and they play Ohio State. So Maryland's been kind of creeping underneath the radar. But these next four games, we have, you know, four teams that are all 2-3. Illinois is just coming off a blowout to Purdue. A blowout to Purdue. I believe like 44-19 loss to Purdue. So, you know, and we think that we have turnover problems. Illinois' quarterback is a turnover machine. He's got seven picks already, a couple fumbles. So, this, as I said, I think the season really hinges on what happens Friday night going forward.
I have a question for you on that, though. I have a question for you. So, okay. I know where you're going with that question, obviously, because, you know, we've all thought it. But so we have Illinois, Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan State. All of them are not having a very good year. So four wins there. Two of them
got fired coaches.
And so we're sitting at 2-3. Four wins in a row would be something we haven't done in some time. A while ago. But it's also four wins that we could – unfortunately, three of them are away. No, are they all away? No, okay.
Two and two.
Two of them. Okay, 2-2. All right. So feel good about Northwestern at home. Feel good, pretty good about Purdue at home.
Yep.
And not bad at Michigan. Illinois, they're probably going to just have like a hold my beer game and like, we're not that bad here in Nebraska. Yep. We're going to give it to you.
Right.
But how realistic do you think it is that we get to six wins? Because I feel like this team is way less talented than any of the last 3 years teams we had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, talent-wise, this is the least talented team we've had in years. You know, on Friday before the Michigan game, they were talking about, obviously, the last time Michigan was in town. And, you know, Sipple was like, if this team had that talent on it, it'd be a different ball. Like, the talent on that team that only won four games is infinitely better than the talent that's on this team. And like I said, the only saving grace is that the schedule and the other teams in the Big Ten West are absolutely down this year. You know, usually Wisconsin and Iowa are top 20 teams. They're both not this year. Northwestern, you know, they're an every other year team. So the only reason Nebraska has a chance to outside make a bowl is because of how down the Big Ten West is. But yeah, talent wise, this is the least talented team we've had in shit, man. I don't know. I mean,
our lives,
maybe ever. Yeah. since I came out for sure. There's nothing on this team at all. There's nothing.
I would take the 2009 offense over this offense.
I was going to say offensive wise, it kind of reminds me.
Give me Zach Lee.
Right. Zach Lee.
Give me.
But you had some dogs on there. You had Niles Paul. Yeah. Fucking Mike McNeil was a tight end, was decent. He was the last tight end to, you know, Fedoni, the first tight end to catch three touchdowns since Mike McNeil. So, one, it's not a lot of touchdowns, so that's a long time to go in between. But, yeah, talent-wise, this team is garbage. This team is garbage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we just need to come to grips with it. But. Nebraska can get this fucking win on Friday. Nebraska's going to a bowl. Nebraska's going to a bowl. Its whole season hinges on Friday. I cannot stress how important this game. If Nebraska loses on Friday, this is a 3-win team. So that's where we're at. That's the importance of this game. I don't know. It's a team. We're basically looking into a mirror. Except for they do have two dominant defensive linemen, Illinois. Outside of that, they've got a turnover-prone quarterback. They have a horrendous defense. They are giving up 419 yards per game, which is bottom five in the college football. So they can get after the passer. They're a little less strenuous in the run game, but they have two stud defensive tackles. They're both first team all Big Ten preseason, Newton and Randolph. So Newton's going to be a first round pick. So they actually have a dude or two on their team, but the rest are a bunch of dogs. They've got their quarterback's a transfer in from Ole Miss. He never played there. He's really bad. Loves turning over the ball. So this is a winnable game. And I don't know, what have you seen out of Illinois? Have you seen any other games? I've watched them play Penn State, and they just kept turning over the ball. Every time something good would happen, he'd throw a pick. I think he had four interceptions that game. And then I watched them. Maybe that's it. Their only two wins are over FAU and Toledo.
Yeah, so, they had to beat Toledo like on a last second
field goal. On a last second field goal opening night. So
yeah, I haven't seen much of them. The thing, you know, that worries me is they still have Brett Bielema as their coach, and they had very, very high expectations coming into this year, based on, you know, what we've seen, you know, historically, and then, you know, what they had on their roster now, and things obviously haven't clicked like they wished, but.
Yep.
Nebraska is the type of team to show up to Champaign, Illinois, and then allow things to just click in front of them. So, you know, we're
every team's fucking get right game. Like
that's we're about to start being the homecoming game for everybody.
Shit,
it's like, we're gonna get scheduled away games for the whole month of October going forward because everyone wants this as homecoming.
But you know, there's a big game this weekend with a lot hinged on it. You know. Pretty near and dear to both of us, you know. So obviously we're talking about the Cowboys at the 49ers Sunday night football this week. You know, luckily, you know, we get to root for some teams that are actually good on Sundays. You know, I was talking to my cousin Saturday, and he's a Broncos fan, and I'm just like, dude, how do you watch this shit on Saturday and wake up and watch the fucking Broncos on Sunday? I mean, my goodness. So. No, it's nice to have, you know, our NFL teams be good. And, you know, this weekend they clash. Zach, what are you seeing happening Sunday night? Little SNF, Sunday night football, Cowboys at 49ers.
If we lose, fine. You know, I've seen it the last 2 years in the playoffs. So, you know, as a Huskers fan, I'm almost immune to, like, the sadness that comes with it. But
yeah,
if we... I'm glad that Christian McCaffrey decided to peak last week, not this week. But no, I mean, the Cowboys had a good bounce back week. You know, I feel like the Cowboys so far this year, they're 3-1. All three of their wins have been in blowout form. And then their one loss was just kind of like it might have been a good thing for them in the season to, like, you know, take that unexpected, you know, underdog loss or whatever to the Cardinals. I hate it, but you know, it is what it is. At least it gets all the hype off us for a while. You know, we were supposed to come out and beat the Patriots. Niners are, you know, like my boy Jerry Jones said,
hey,
you know,
Jerry was pumping them up.
They're the class of the NFC. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they have a very, very good team. And so we'll hopefully put up a good fight and get a win, but you know, I'm not hoping or I'm not expecting anything too crazy.
Yeah, no, you know, my 49ers are, you know, right now looking like the best team in the league. They're throwing, running, stopping the run, playing good defense, decent special teams. You know, right now that I think would be the NFL MVP. McCaffrey is, you know, absolutely balling out, being exactly who we were hoping he would be once he got into this Shanahan system. And, you know, he's looking like the old Christian McCaffrey. So just so many weapons on offense. I think, you know, we beat up the team. Cardinals just beat you guys last week. And fucking Kittle and Debo had one catch between the two of them. So
it's Debo's like hurt, though.
Yeah, he still played, though.
And Kittle only had one catch on him. He's on my fantasy team. I keep tabs on him. Yep, I still play him because I know what he can do.
Yep. So it's like... When you have that many weapons, you know, Brandon Ayuk's been a fucking, you know, been a breakout star this year. And you've been kind of seeing it year in, year out. He's just getting better and better. So, 49ers have won 14 straight. fucking regular season games. Brock Purdy, I mean, he's really covered up that whole Trey Lance debacle we had. I mean, the worst NFL pick in NFL history, Trey Lance, where we traded the
versus entire the
farm. Yeah.
The best and pick ever.
Yeah, exactly. So Brock Purdy's been balling, man. He had 92% completion rate last week. You know, I mean, so just really exciting shit. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the 49ers have been pretty good for the last 3 years. So, like, now it's, I feel like I kind of mentioned, like, Alabama, where it's only, I'm only, like, really, really interested in, like, the big games of the season. You know, there's, like, three or four games where it's like, all right, play the Cowboys this week, play the Eagles this week, you know, maybe against Seattle. And then, and I think we play the Eagles and then the Dolphins. So it's like, okay. Besides that, you know, it's basically – we've been getting to the NFC Championship regularly, so it's time to take that next step. But excited to see what happens Sunday night, you know. But so Friday night, Huskers play Friday night in Champaign in the hopefully not all the way burnt down building. So far, five games in, I've been able to predict all of them, wins and losses. Zach, I believe you're
– No, I'm
– You're not – So
I'm tapped out, man.
Yep. So give me the big red 20-17. Fucking find a way to win in an ugly game. Tristan Alvano hits a fucking field goal to fucking win the game late. 2017 Huskers get to 3-3 and on and upward starts the bull march. So I like the Huskers to win Friday night and in a close, ugly ball game. But I like us to come out of there with a victory. Zach, what are you looking to see Saturday?
Friday night, I know. It's kind of nice to knock it out, like we said, for the Thursday game, so we can, like, I like his 24-13. I think we open up the game with a solid drive, get down there, and we run Alvano out there, and he gets rid of his demons, hits the first field goal, puts us up 3-0. Defense comes back, shows out a little bit, and we get a little momentum on offense. So I like that. But what I don't want to see is their starting quarterback in the third quarter kissing his girlfriend on the sidelines like McCarthy was in Lincoln.
High school shit, man.
Yep. So there's one thing I want to see, and that's us win. There's another thing I don't want to see, and opposing quarterback kissing his girlfriend on the sidelines when they're beating our ass. Yep.
Not even taking this seriously.
I mean, it's just a simple ask, really.
Smooching girls on the sideline.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't even his girl. It's probably one of our fans. Shit. Fucking way things were going.
Well, if it was, more power to him. Either way, more power to him, because...
Wasn't McCarthy's dad the one during the college football playoff last year where he scored and they went to his dad and his girlfriend in the stands and his dad was... copped a little feel up on his lady while they're celebrating.
Girl in the McCarthy family.
Yeah, got a little
established touch. That now.
I ain't managed, old man. Fucking. But that was odd. And like I said, Michigan knew they were going to blow us. They brought four quarterbacks. You don't bring four quarterbacks on a travel.
Well, only three of them played. Only three of them played. The third one threw
four.
No, I watched it earlier today.
Like I said, I didn't watch
it. The third one threw a duck of a pass, a dart, right in the middle of the end zone for the last touchdown. It's like he could play for us right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say how many of the three could start.
Oh, the second one. If McCarthy ever went down, I don't think they'd miss a beat. I thought that. Really? What was his name?
Yeah, I got it pulled up here too.
It was
Jake Tuttle.
Tuttle. Yep. Yeah. Tuttle. They looked the same. The fourth string looked exactly like the first two. The third was.
Oh shit! Yeah, Jake Tuttle. Fucking. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he diced us up too.
Yeah, he looks like a guy that would dice us up. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, they look exactly the same, like with their eye black to their face mask to just, you know, their general build. So. Yeah, I mean, Michigan, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. And so, you know what, I guess we did the best we could. I don't think we really did, but I'm glad the game's over with.
The team seems really pissed off in the interviews, man. I just kind of listened to the coaches' interviews, the team interviews. Like, it sounds like they had a coming to Jesus moment. The coming to Jesus might have been just getting in somebody's ass. But, you know, I listened to Ben Scott talk. And
yeah, I saw, know, yeah.
He looked like a guy that meant business. So you'd like to see that. You know, I want to see somebody with some fire. I want to see somebody getting their ass chewed or chewing someone's ass. I mean, you know, whether it's coaching staff or, you know, a player on the team. But, you know, I liked what I was hearing out of the team this week and from the coaches. So that's why I like us to go in there and get a W this week. And like I said, get us to 500. Somehow drag this fucking lonely ass fucking talentless football team to a bowl game. But
yeah, I might just have to like watch this solo too. Like, yeah. I might just need like a game to myself here where I can just kind of take it in. And
right,
I don't know. It's, I had to watch it with a big group of people in the wedding stuff last week, and
yep.
And it was in Iowa, so of course, you know, I had voices coming from the non-Husker fans, but
yeah, and I see their quarterback's done for the season too.
Yeah, So
once
also
again,
blood in the water in Iowa City.
Exactly, that's what I said, dude. We got some bums swimming around us, man. You know, we need to drown a couple of them and get to where we need to go. So just
throw a grenade in the water.
Exactly. Helps. Shit, put it in reverse, Terry. Shit. So, but no, like I said. Friday night, we need a victory. We need a victory in the worst way. And, you know, especially leading into a bye week, and then you got Northwestern coming in. I mean, the vibe and tone around this team would be completely different. So I like us to go in there and do what we need to do. I think Jeff Sims comes back. I think both quarterbacks play. And we go in there and get a gritty, ugly win. So that's it. 2017 Huskers. Zach, you were at what?
24-13. 24-13. And then going back to my Herb Brooks mention earlier, great moments are built with great response. Or that's fuck. Never mind. That's not it.
It's fuck.
Great moments are built from great. And that's it. That's
okay. Fucking, it's thanks for the fucking words. Sound like Rule getting us fired up for the game.
Yep. And, do what I can.
Hip hip hooray. So
shout out Mike Riley.
Yeah. All right. Till next week. We talk to you after a victory. If we don't win, we'll see you at sometime in the future. GBR.
This is the Big Red Revival.